So in other words, the Mayavadis are forbidden, or rather they are prevented from having an access to bhakti or this rasamrita or this dharmamritam. In other words, the highest Vedic knowledge is kept away from the Mayavadis. They are debarred from understanding the highest Vedanta. And the irony of it is that the Mayavadis claim that we are the only ones who understand Vedanta. Whereas in actual fact, they are the ones who are debarred from understanding real Vedanta. Because real Vedanta comes in this exchange of rasa with the Supreme Lord. And rasa is what Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. Therefore you can see the Shankaracharya, who is actually an incarnation of Lord Shiva, who is a great Vaishnava himself. He had a role to play, and we have discussed this in previous sessions. But Shankaracharya never wrote a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. But those who are following him in his footsteps, or supposedly following in his footsteps, they dare to write commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam, although they have absolutely no qualification to do so. When they negate the very personality of Godhead, they negate the very personality of the individual jiva, they negate the whole process of bhakti and minimize it, how is it possible that they can write a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam? But still they dare to do it. That is their audacity. That is their impudence. Today even Shankaracharya didn't do it deliberately. There is a saying in English, fools enter where angels fear to tread. So Shankaracharya is actually a pure devotee, so he knew that as an impersonalist, as a person who's playing the role of an impersonalist, I should not touch the Srimad Bhagavatam. But those who are following in his footsteps, unfortunately, they are demonstrating their foolishness by trying to comment upon and enter into a territory that is beyond their jurisdiction utterly. They cannot touch the contents of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but still they write. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya has explained, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi. The Mayavadis, they are aparadhis or offenders at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Not only do they not accept Krishna as the personality of Godhead, but they dare to write such commentaries and they write elaborate treatises on Bhagavatam and Vedanta, and they put it forward in the minds of the gullible public as if they actually knew the essence of the Vedanta. But the fact remains that they will never be able to experience the true rasa, this true nectar. It will be kept away from them until they actually surrender to the Lord, or till they come into contact with a pure devotee of the Lord. There is a small story that we hear in Vrindavan about how Lakshmi Devi, who is the consort of Narayan, wanted to enter into the Rasa Leela. The Rasa Leela, as you know, is the much talked about and therefore the much misunderstood pastime of the Lord with the gopis. The Rasa Leela is such an exalted pastime. It is on such a high platform that it is explained that unless one is personally free of lust completely, one cannot understand this Rasa Leela. So it is the highest, it is the perfection of all the pastimes of the Lord. There are various categories of rasas, as we have seen, even in material life, which is a perverted reflection of that in spiritual life. So even in relation to Krishna, there are many, many kinds of relationships. Five different kinds of relationships. We will not discuss them today because of shortage of time. At some appropriate point, we will discuss what these different rasas are. But nevertheless, suffice it to say here that these relationships are, for example, like Mother Yashoda's love for baby Krishna, which is one kind of love for Krishna. Or the love of Krishna's charioteer, Daruka, for him. The love of the cowherd boys for Krishna in friendship. And the love of the gopis for Krishna. So these are all different categories of love. All are in the platform of pure bhakti. But still, they are different flavors. different rasas. So although each bhakta in each of these five categories is completely satisfied, nevertheless, objectively seeing it, the madhurya ras, or the love of the gopis for Krishna, is considered the highest amongst all. And even amongst those who are in madhurya ras, the love of the gopis for Krishna is even higher than the love of the queens of Dwarka for Krishna. So Lakshmi Devi, the consort of Narayan, wanted to come in and see what this Rasalila is all about. So she came to Vrindavan. But she was held back. She says, no, you cannot enter as Lakshmi Devi. You have to, if you want to enter into the mystery, you want to enter into this Rasalila, you must become a maidservant of the gopis, and only then you can enter. So Lakshmi Devi was taken aback. I am the queen of Vaikuntha, the consort of Narayan. Lakshmi is wealth personified. And how can I become a maidservant of some simple village girls? So Lakshmiji was taken aback. So she went to Narayan. So Narayan, Lord Narayan asked, well, what happened? So she said, well, I was told to become the maidservant of the gopis. How can I, your consort, become the maidservant like that? It is not fitting. In fact, it is below the dignity of one who is your consort. So then Lord Narayan, he understood. He said, well, then you cannot enter into the Rasalila. It is beyond access for you. Ultimately, of course, Lord Krishna accepted Lakshmi Devi as a Srivatsa, small hair, white hair on his chest. So the point is that even Lakshmi Devi, the eternal consort of Narayan, couldn't enter into the pastimes of Lord Krishna with the gopis because of a certain mentality. How do we think that those Mayavadis can do that? How can they enter into the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam? The greatest offenders against the Lord, is it possible they can ever understand Srimad Bhagavatam? And therefore, is it possible they can ever understand what Vedanta really is? It is completely beyond them. Even Lord Shiva, the greatest Vaishnava among them all, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, even Lord Shiva had a similar desire one time. He also wanted to see, witness for himself the Rasa dance. And when he came, he was also told the same thing. And Lord Shiva actually took the form of a gopi. And then he was able to enter in, but not till then. And that Leela is memorialized by a small temple in Vrindavan. It's called Gopeshwar Mahadev. It's the temple of Mahadev, or Lord Shiva, who took the form of a gopi. So if Lord Shiva, the greatest Vaishnava, has to actually become a gopi, or actually to come to this point to understand Rasa Leela, how is it possible that offenders like the Mayavadis can do it? It's not possible. So we can see the relative position of the Mayavadis. For them, Srimad Bhagavatam, and therefore Vedanta, is actually completely out of bound. They have no conception of Krishna. Very clearly here, Krishna explains May. May means mine. Mine means Krishna is a person. They have no conception of Krishna as a person, and they want to push Krishna aside, and they want to understand scripture, which is impossible. Rasa comes from he who is the reservoir of rasa. Raso vaisaha. Raso vaisaha means Krishna, who is a reservoir of all pleasure, of all rasa, of all this nectar. Rasam hi evayam labdhanandi bhavati. And by contacting or coming into contact with the ocean of, or the reservoir of all pleasure, labdhva ananda bhavati, we can also experience that supreme bliss, ananda. So this is possible only in contact with the person Krishna. In the Padma Purana, it is also explained, ramante yogino anante satyanande chidatmani iti rama padena asau param brahma vidhiyate. The greatest of yogis are of course the devotees. The yogis, they are always engaged in experiencing this bliss. Ramante yogino anante satya anande. Ananta means forever. They are experiencing satya ananda. Satya means in truth, ananda. So they are experiencing real bliss, which is spiritual, because they are in contact with the Supreme Lord, who is the ocean of bliss. Iti Rama padenaso. Rama means the reservoir of pleasure, one who gives all pleasure. And he is what is his position? Param Brahma, abhidhiyate. So he is Param Brahma. You will remember in 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna addresses Lord Krishna as Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. So Lord Krishna is the same Param Brahma. He is also called Ram, because he is a supreme pleasure, the giver of supreme pleasure. So Krishna is the original Ram. And if we come into contact with this original Ram or the Krishna, then we will also be able to experience that nectar, that rasa, rasamrita. So in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The word Krishna, of course, refers to Krishna. The word Ram also refers to Krishna. Because Ram, Krishna is the original Ram, as we see here. Of course, Ram also refers to Lord Balaram. It also refers to Lord Ramachandra. But generally, we should know that Krishna is the origin of all of them. So actually, Ram also refers to Krishna, because he is the ocean of all rasa. So simply by connecting with Krishna through this process of devotional service, we can also experience this highest rasa. So this is what is stated here in this verse, that one who follows this imperishable path of devotional service, dharma, he will be able to experience that same amrita, that same nectar. But the condition is, we must engage ourselves completely with full faith. Right now, our engagement in devotional service is lacking. We lack faith. We lack commitment. We lack dedication. So by constantly being in the association of devotees, chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, studying the books and the Shastras, like those written by Srila Prabhupada, honoring Prasad, doing Seva, we will also be able to revive that rasa. The rasa is already there within us. It has only to be revived. And by engaging in the process of devotional service, we will also be able to one day taste that nectar. Even now, in the process of doing it, susukham kartum, so we are already able to experience some degree of nectar. Otherwise, how is it possible that those who are bhaktas are able to abstain from all kinds of worldly pleasures? It's not possible. Even the mayavadis, they go through so much of trouble and penance, but because there is no rasa, no higher taste, therefore they fall down and they come back into worldly life in different shapes, in different forms. They come back into politics. They come down to do some kind of philanthropic work. But the bhaktas have nothing to do with philanthropy, mundane philanthropy. They have nothing to do with politics. They have nothing to do with so-called social work. They are simply engaged in devotional service to Krishna, chanting his name, fame, glories, etc. And in preaching these glories and this name, the names and fame of the Lord everywhere. That is the only business of the true devotees of the Lord. And this indeed is the highest dharma. The highest dharma of all. And it is the goal of every human being to actually participate in this dharma and make his life perfect.